Right, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Thank God we enter into the final day of YTTC. And obviously, the last day of the seminar is the most exciting one because you will have many tests. But for us, we are going to relax very soon. Okay, never mind. We're going to look at the story of Joseph again. We have covered up to chapter 46, right? Now, here we find that it's like by the grace of God and through the understanding of Joseph and the family of Jacob, which was initially torn apart by the wicked deeds of his brothers, managed to be put together once again. Right, you can see the ending of the story is very touching, is heartwarming. Right now, so that's why, class, you need to remember this. God has given us power and wisdom. He lives within our hearts, so we have all the power, to turn things around to our own advantage and also for the good of the church. Sometimes it really depends on us. Okay, now if we want to live peaceably with others, actually we can. Right, it's entirely up to us. Right, this is also the teachings. Mentioned by Paul, right? What is it? Well, we can look at Romans, please turn to Romans chapter 12. We read verse 18 and verse 17 to verse 19, And I think this is like an apt summary of the mindset of Joseph, what kind of person he was. Right? We read verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, have regards for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, therefore if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is a perfect summary of the life of Joseph. Right? Now, like what we said before, because God bless him, he was raised to power and he was the governor at the time, so the dynamics is with him. Right now, he could choose to change things around and to save his own family, right? Or he could choose to get rid of them. Right now, so you find that Joseph actually did the will of the Father, did the will of God. Really it's depend on us. Now, if we have God, if we have the Holy Spirit, if we have the truth, then we should be able to live peaceably with our parents, with our siblings, and with our brothers and sisters in the church, and even with your colleagues or your schoolmates or uni mates or whatever. Right? Now, so it's up to you. So I guess that this is our hope. So after you return from here, right? Now, at least make it a point to change. Whatever relationship that you have, which has been soured for some reasons, right? And, to make it better. Is it okay? Hello? Okay. Now, so, when you look at chapter 47, when you come to chapter 47, before I talk about the words from Jacob, now, I want you to look at the second section first, second section. Yeah. Now, from verse 13 onwards, all the way down to verse 26, here you can see the wisdom of Joseph. You know, think about it. Right? Now, why is it that God has given Joseph, yeah, such a great wisdom, yeah, to deal with, you know, a very difficult situation? Okay? Now, I think it's quite clearly because Joseph was a God-fearing person, right? And on top of that, yeah, he always allowed God to what? To take control over his life. Remember I told you yesterday, Joseph is like, when he was in Egypt, he was what to Joseph? He was what to Joseph? I mean, to Pharaoh. Father, and he was also Lord and ruler, right? But he recognized that someone else was above him, that is God. And I think if we can exercise, if we can show this kind of a godliness in our life, and respect, this kind of due respect given to God, then you find that God will give us great wisdom in all the things that we do. Yeah? Now, sometimes we behave very strangely or behave in a very unchristian manner, or even we said unwise manner, simply because we don't fear God. That's the problem. Okay, now if you look at the second part of chapter 47, it's like he came out with a lot of what rules and laws, you know, which later on we find that Egypt adopted. Okay, now I want you to look at for example, verse 14. Now, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Now here we find that this guy here is a man of integrity. Right? Now if he were to take all the money away, I don't think Pharaoh would question him anyway. Right? Because he was like a ruler in Egypt at the time. Now here it shows that he truly was a man of great integrity. Okay. Now I think, you know, as youngsters we must learn to be what? People of great integrity. Very important. Right? The way you deal with things, the way you handle matters, you must show that you are upright people, you are what? People who are trustworthy, yeah, people who can be what? And can be respected by others. Gabby, can you pull the blind? It's blinding me. Thank you. Sisini. Okay. Now, come back, yeah? Now, so when all the Egyptian has used up all the money, I want you to read verse 16 now and see what Joseph said to them. Then Joseph said, "Give your livestock and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone." Okay? Again, you hear, we can see the wisdom of Joseph, right? Joseph. So actually in famine, you find that he had gained a lot of wealth for Pharaoh. Okay? Now, so even after they have used up all the livestock, okay, and they came back to Joseph, and what did he say to them? Now, I want you to look at verse 19. "Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land, we will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate." Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. So every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them, so the land became Pharaoh's. Okay? Now, so you find that he really knew how to handle the situation very well. Okay? And so find that, like, you know, in times of a severe famine, he continued to help Pharaoh to gain a lot of wealth, right? Now, finally, you find that even all the land has been sold, then they came back to what? Joseph. Now, I want you to read verse 23. Then Joseph said to the people, "Indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is the seed for you, and you shall sell the land." Now, verse 24, "And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh." Now, this is the tax, right? This is the tax. You know, I think it started by Joseph. Right? One-fifth of their produce is to be given to Pharaohs. Right? So this is the wisdom of Joseph. Now, verse 26, "And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day, that Pharaoh should have one-fifth." Can you see? Tax, I think, is started by this guy. By Joseph. Judging from the Bible, obviously. Because here it said it's Joseph who made it a law. Right? He enacted that law for Pharaoh. Okay? Now, you can imagine, that it's like not only he was the ruler, he was like the lawmaker as well in the land. Yeah, you cannot believe it. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like he was the guy who took full control over the land, every aspect of it. Yeah. Including what? Enacting law. It's unbelievable. That kind of wisdom from God. Right? Now. So I think the lesson here is very clear. Yeah, as long as we fear God, then you find that our life will be different. Okay, our life will be different. Okay, now so 27 to 31. So it talks about, you know, this is Jacob, yeah, asking what? Joseph, yeah, to bring him down where to let the land of Canaan for burial, right? It's like even before he died, he like made Joseph to agree with him to take his body down to Canaan for burial, right? So make him swear, right? So this is the last section. Okay, now we come back to the first part. Now I want you to look at something first, yeah. Now 46, chapter 46. Chapter 46. Now I want you to look at verse 32 onwards. Yeah? You know, for the Egyptian, they didn't like, you know, shepherds, right? Now if you look at verse 34, "Then you shall say, your servant occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptian." It's loathsome to the Egyptian for some reasons, okay? For some reasons. Now, when you read on, when Pharaoh asks about, you know, the occupation of Joseph's brothers, right? Now, what did they say? I want you to read verse 3. Yeah? "Then Pharaoh said to his brothers," chapter 47, verse 3, "What is your occupation?" They said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." It's like Pharaoh was not angry, you know, with what they said. Because to be a shepherd in those days was an abomination in the eyes of the Egyptian. Now, because Joseph has such a great influence, yeah, over the land of Egypt, even what was detestable in the sight of Egyptians, and because of Joseph, it's like, you know, the Egyptian just accepted it. Right? You understand what I'm saying? And that is the what? That's the power of God. Right? So you can see how much influence he had, yeah, on the entire land of Egypt. Right? It's like, you know, because of Joseph, he could change the mindset, he could change the culture of the people. And because of Joseph, they have to accept what was deemed abominable in their eyes. You know, that kind of thing. And not only that, you see that the work of shepherding was done in the best of land in Egypt. That is the land of Goshen. Right? So, you know, there's no parallel that you can find in the Bible anyway. But this is extraordinary. It's unbelievable. Right? Now, so, I think the main emphasis here is about if you fear God, then you will see a huge difference in your life. Okay, now, so eventually they have to go and see Pharaoh, okay? Now, I want you to read verse 5 and verse 6. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent man among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." Okay, then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, I want you to look at the things that he said, okay? What Jacob said about himself. Now, verse 9. This is a key verse, a very important verse, okay? This is a very important verse, right? Now, and Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Now, I think the most important lesson here is that Jacob recognized that after all, yeah, he was only a pilgrim, or he was only a sojourner. Okay? Just like Abraham understood that he was only a sojourner in this world. Yeah? And so did Isaac. So you find that, you know, this ancestors, yeah? This patriarch, they actually understood very well that, you know, after all, they were only sojourners. That's why they moved from one place to another in the land of Canaan. They're like a wanderer, moving about. Because according to Hebrews, they were waiting for a permanent home, which is in the heavenly kingdom. Okay? Now again, the lesson for us is that we are only sojourners in this world. Yeah, we move from one place to another on the face of this planet Earth, and we know for sure that if we keep the word of God, one day we shall return to where we belong, or where God has prepared for us. Okay? And that is our hope, and that is our desire. Now, look at what he said. And he said, "His day are few and evil." This is how he described his own days. Very short and full of evil. Okay, when you look at the life of Jacob, it's indeed very true, isn't it? Okay, I want you to name me some examples, yeah? Tell me some example where he encountered with great difficulties in life. Okay, I'm helping you to recapitulate what we have studied. Okay, in a chronological order. Yes, sorry? Sister, I'm a bit slow up here. I can't hear you very well. He has to leave his home because of Esau, who wanted to kill him. Okay. What else? You know, having gone through the story, you should have remembered at least some part of it. Don't tell me that up here is blank. You only study the answers for your test. Yeah, these people. Okay, he was what? He was bullied by his uncle, isn't it? Laban. How many times did he change his wages? 10 times. Yeah? Okay? 10 times. So according to the description given by the wife, it's like the father has consumed everything that they had. Yeah? Alright? So he suffered under the sun, and at night, you know, he has to what? Brave the cold or whatever. Alright? That kind of thing. Alright. Now, so what else? And you also can see the family turmoil, isn't it? So there were constant fight between the wives. Is it not so? Oh, unbearable, I tell you. You know, Proverbs said, yeah, if you see this kind of woman, what would you do? You run away. Is it not so? You find a quarrelsome woman, you finish. I tell you, I don't know where to hide yourself. So, sister, you must not be quarrelsome. My advice to you. And I know that most of the sisters are very gentle. I'm not sure about this class. Anyway. You know, last year they asked me to, during the National Sister Fellowship, they make me speak on a virtuous woman. I said, my goodness, what I'm going to talk about? What? I'm so afraid of talking about all this. Luckily, my wife was not around. Don't tell mommy. Shut your ears. Okay. Proverbs chapter 19. This is what I talk about. Chapter 19, verse 13. Yeah? One of the points I mentioned. Okay, look at the second part of verse 13. And the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Verse 13, continual dripping. You know, in the original text, dripping. You know, if your house is leaking, you know, especially during rainy season, drips. And that causes a lot of what? Irritation, is it not so? So, the Bible said, the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. You can imagine in the house of Jacob. You know, one time Rachel said to the husband, give me a child, otherwise I would die. You remember that? Jacob went crazy. Right? So, I believe the sisters in the church are different. Okay? I believe that. Liam, why? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the sisters. Okay, I think there's one more, I can't remember where. Okay, yes, 21 verse 9. Okay, verse 9, again it's for the sisters. Now, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. You know, in those days, as far as I know, yeah, their rooftop is not like this. It's not, it's flat. Okay, it's flat. Flat rooftop. So, you know, there's always a stair that go to the top, that lead to the top. Okay, so the Bible says, if you leave a contentious woman, and you know that this is unbearable, it's better for you to stay on top of the roof, at a corner. But you know, even you stay in the top of the corner, on the top of the corner, it's dangerous because you can fall over. You understand what I'm saying? But it's still better than to stay in a house with a contentious woman. So, jie-mei, don't quarrel, don't argue. Be nice. Pray to God. Ask God to change. I will speak to the brothers. Don't worry. Very soon. I'm very fair, okay? Okay, now we come back to... okay, what else? What else did he suffer? After he left the house, what else? after he left his uncle's house. The Bible says they safely arrived to Shechem. Remember that? And then what happened? His daughter, Dinah, right? Again, because she didn't behave, and she was practically defiled, right? By Shechem. And so, obviously, that grieved the father very much as well. Then what happened? The two brothers, Levi and Simeon, what did they do? They came up with a trick, isn't it? A plot, actually. And get all these people circumcised, and then, on the third day, slaughter them all. And the father almost died because of that. You know, you need to understand that for brothers, yeah? We must learn to control our anger. You know, some of the brothers, yeah? I met a brother, okay? Now he doesn't come to church anymore. To me, he's not a believer anyway. He always hit the wife. And sometimes, you know, very serious. Right? It's back home in Malaysia, I'm telling you. And to a point that, you know what happened? The wife has to live away from him. Okay? Now, so I tell you, as brothers, you know, there's something that we must learn. You must learn to control your anger. Right? Now, if you're angry, then what? You need to pray to God. Otherwise, you can harm the family. You can destroy your marriage. Right? You know, in Africa, you know what happened? You know, the Africans, yeah, they beat up the wife. So when I... Yes. Yes, that's why when I went there... No, I know. You know when I went there, you know what happened? You know when I went there, I spoke to them. If you beat your wife again, you cannot be a worker. Oh, they stop. All of them stop. Right, they stop. Okay? That's why we said to them, in the church, there's no beating up a wife. Right? That's why we teach the brothers, right? That they must control their anger. They must control their anger. Well, I think this really affects, you know, the family. Okay, it's bad for the family. But if you want to get married, then you must learn to control your anger. Do you get angry easily? Brothers, do you get angry easily? Do you get angry easily? Then you are not fit for marriage. I'm serious. Then you end up fighting. Is it not true? Yeah. You know, if you come for counseling, the first thing I ask you, do you get angry easily? You know, like the Chinese say that if you get angry, 喝凉茶嘛，小气鬼喝凉水，什么东西。 You know, that's how the saying goes. If you are 小气鬼, mean how can I translate? No, how do I translate it accurately with the demons, the devil, is that? If you get angry easily, then you should drink more what? 凉茶. Okay. All right, now, what else did he suffer apart from that? What, Reuben slept with? Yeah, one of the wives, isn't it? Concubines. What else? What else? Hey? And then obviously what? They sold Jacob, isn't it also? Yes, Joseph. Jacob sold Jacob, yeah? Okay. What? So Joseph, what else? They pretended that. How can they pretend it? How can they pretend? They made up a story. Thank you. They made up a story, huh? And saying that Joseph was dead. Okay? Now, the next thing. What else? Right? Bereaved, because he was sad, isn't it? Right, so you know, this like summarizes, yeah, what this statement here summarizes the life of Jacob. Is that okay? All right, now we move on. Now from verse 11 to verse 12. So you know, Joseph actually kept his promise by allowing his brothers, his family, to dwell in the best of the land of Egypt. And he also provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread, according to the number in their families. Right? So, okay, here we see the integrity of Joseph. Yeah? Joseph. Okay, so this is 47. Any question? Any question? Questions so far? No? Okay, if not, then we move on to chapter 48, yeah? 48. Now, here Jacob was about to die. Now, I want you to read verse 1. Here it says, "Indeed, your father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim." Now, so Joseph wanted his father to bless the two sons, and Israel strengthened himself and sat on the bed. Now, verse 2, he collected his strength. Right? Basically, he was at the point of death, right? At the verge of death. So it's like he strengthened himself for the final time, yeah, to bless what? To bless the children. Okay, now you find that in the conversation between him and Joseph, you find that he actually, at that point in time, he still could not forget Rachel. Right? I think he was deeply in love with Rachel. Now, if you read verse 7, okay? Please read verse 7. Chapter 48, verse 7. "Now, but as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died before me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. I buried her there on the way to Ephrath." That is Bethlehem. Right? Now, you find that even before he died, he recalled that incident. It must be very vivid in his mind, right? Because the wife was giving birth to the younger son, Benjamin, and in the process, she died. She died of childbirth. Right? And so, you know, he remembered that very well. Obviously, you know, before a person dies, I think, there are things that a person might not be able to forget. It's like, so it goes to show that this thing must have grieved him so much. Yeah, the death of the wife, Rachel. Because he loved Rachel so much, from the time, the first time he saw her. Okay, so this is life. Love story has to come to an end one day, whether you like it or not. Right? Maybe your love story has not begun yet, but one day it will begin. But remember, it will come to an end one day. Okay? Nothing can last forever. Okay, that's what the Bible says. While while you're still alive, on earth, then you should not treasure the moment that you have with the wife whom you love. Where is it recorded? Yeah, 那个你一定懂的. Very good. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, isn't it? Okay, chapter 9, verse 9. Very easy to remember. 9, 9, 9, 9. Okay. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 9. Okay? You get it, sister? 9, 9, yeah? Okay. Now, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you. Under the sun, all your days of vanity, for this, that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Right? Well, actually life, I mean, you know, time passes very quickly. By the time you realize it, you know, it's like you already entered into old age. Right? So that's why we need to treasure the moments that God has given to us. Right now, if you intend to get married in the future, then you know this is for the brothers. Yeah, then this is the thing that you must do. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love. Okay. Now, two things here mentioned. If you want to live joyfully, right, with your wife, then obviously you must first love her. And you must be able to develop this kind of love and this kind of feeling for your wife. And then you can live joyfully. Right? So otherwise, you know, you find that the time passes so quickly, by the time you realize it, you might not have time. You cannot even walk anymore. So this is very important, okay? Now, so you find that he recalled the wife, how she died. Okay. Now, here, actually Joseph wanted the father to bless the firstborn with double portion, with double blessing, and the second son, you know, with a blessing only. Now, but you find that again, Joseph did not... Jacob did not listen to Joseph. I want to read verse 19 first. Verse 19. But his father refused and said, I know my son, I know he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than me, than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. The Bible does not say why Jacob wanted to bless the younger one. Yeah. And give the younger one the blessing of the firstborn. The Bible does not say. Maybe he just want to make him like himself. Yes, because Jacob said, I'm also the younger one, so I received double blessing. So, okay, so this is the incident. Now, again, I want you to read a very important verse, a key verse in this chapter, verse 15. Yeah, please read. Now, I want you to read that this is a key verse, yeah, very important verse. Now, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. Verse 16. Chapter 48. Is it okay? Are you with me? Okay, 48. Now we look at verse 16. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad. Okay, now, you know, despise all the problems and all the misery and suffering that he had been through, yeah, one thing which is very encouraging, that is, he was able to see that God has been with him. God has been feeding him throughout his long life. Yeah. Now, so You know, I think this is something, again, very important for us to recognize. You know, like what we said, life is never easy. You know, to me, growing up is so difficult. I'm telling you, growing up is not easy. It depends on where you are from, you know, your background, stuff like that. As far as I'm concerned, growing up is very difficult. Yeah, it's not easy at all. Right? Now, here you find that, yeah? The experience that he had is that, you know, God has been feeding him all along. I think that is very, very what, encouraging, very touching. Right? Now, so the question is, can we experience the feeding of God or the presence of God in our life in times of uncertainty, in times of adversity in life? I think that's very important. Okay? Now, as far as Jacob was concerned, he was someone who knew how to hold on to God. Okay? He knew. Right? Now, so the lesson is that we must hold on to God even in, we said, the darkest moments of our life. Right? In this way, we will experience what? The blessing, the abundant blessing of God. Now, so here it says, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Is true, you know, if you analyze his life, yeah. Practically, you know, on every occasions of difficulties or in danger, God saved him. So, you know, the life of Jacob give us another dimensions about life. Life is not smooth after all. It's full of pain and suffering, to be honest. I cannot lie to you by saying that, you know, if you believe in Jesus, then your life will be smooth, will be happy, you know, will be what, plain sailing, you know, you will not meet with storms or whatever. Not true. It's not true, isn't it? You will still face with a lot of difficulties, but the only difference is you know that God is with you and your heart can be joyful because of the fact that God is by our side. Right? That is the life of Jacob. Right? So this is a key verse. Right? Remember that. Eh? Now, I want you to look at something else. Now, if you look at the conversation, yeah? If you look at the conversation between Jacob and his son, Joseph, you find that they always talk about God. It's quite amazing in this chapter. Let me give you some example. Now, if you look at verse 9, yeah? And Joseph said to his father, "They are my son, whom God has given me in this place." You know, normally when you talk to your father, because Joseph has already met the father for quite a bit already. When you talk to the father, let's say you in the future, you know, you get married and you have your own children. You said to your father, you know, "And this is my son whom God has given to me." Will you say that? Will you? Not usually, is that not true? Not usually. But you find that this father and son are quite unique, you know. Oh, you see, these are my son whom God has given me in this place. Okay, look at the reply from who? From Jacob, 11. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring. Right? You find that their conversation is very what? Is we said very God-centered. It's not detached from the reality that God has been with them. Okay, now let's look at verse 21. Here's another example. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I'm dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers." Now, obviously, you know that, you know, he was about to die, so you find that the conversation is very much God-centered. This is very, very touching. You can imagine if you can, you know, hear this in a family, then you find that this family is very different. It's a godly family. Always talk, always talks about God. Okay, now so 48. Any question? I tell you, it's always good to talk about God in your, you know, especially when you are talking to your parents, especially when you are talking to your sibling. It's very important. Sometimes when you start talking about God, you bring out that kind of respect, yeah, for God. Right? You find that the atmosphere in your family will be very different because you talk about God. Okay. Right? So sometimes we need to learn, you know, to talk about matters of God or give things that we can give thanks to God. Yeah, talk about them, and you create a very different atmosphere and environment in your family. Very different. You don't always talk about your smartphone. You know, no. You talk about God. You know, that's what I believe. You can use your smartphone or whatever, but you know when you. No. Messaging one another, you should talk about God as well. Have you prayed already? You know, what chapter are you on? That kind of thing. How many friends have you preached to for the past 1 week? You know, that kind of thing. Right? How many members have you visited? That kind of thing. Messaging. This movie is good. Oh, you know, this. Forget it. You're wasting time. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Please make good use of your smartphones or whatever. Talk about God. You know. Even now, my phone. Yeah? You know, sometimes I message the workers in Africa. They ask me, where are you? Oh, I pray for you. I feel so good. They're praying for me. Is that not true? We talk about movie, this movie star. You know how he died? Don't forget it. you get what I'm saying, okay? So, sometimes you can, seriously, you know, even amongst the preacher, we got a email group, you know, and also a WhatsApp group. Sometimes you, what are you doing? You're eating too much. Okay. Any question? No? We say a silent prayer. Amen.